Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now here's this week's message.
If you got your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Philippians. If you'll stand with me as we get ready to read just two verses this morning. It reads in, starting in chapter 4, verse 6, says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. And Lord, we thank you for this time of the service as we get ready just to dig into your word a little bit. And Father, we pray today that you would just speak peace, God, into our lives, into our hearts today. Lord, as we read what your word says, as we discuss this morning under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, if there be any here that are having a difficult time, Lord, where the peace of their life has been disrupted, Lord, I pray that they'll find and glean some strength here. And Lord, also realize that you're able to speak peace into their life today. We ask it in Jesus' name. To you be the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. These two verses that we've read this morning have been preached and quoted countless times in the church. And they bring comfort. They bring instruction. And if followed, they can actually bring a supernatural peace into our lives, if we apply them into our lives. You know, Paul wrote these to the church at Philippi in order to help them find that peace that passed all understanding. Yet we also can apply them into our lives and even the experience of our lives today, even though they've been written several centuries ago. We know that they also are very relevant to us at this moment that we're living in. That's what I love about the Word of God. God's Word is always relevant. No matter what century, what generation is reading it, it can speak into our lives and give us strength for that moment of our lives. It's a beautiful thing. Some have said, and I believe, that the Word of God is alive. Amen? Still living. It's good. And so when you think about the things that were happening in the church of Philippi that were literally, how many know you can have things happening in your life that can gnaw at the peace that you got? Just sit there gnawing on you. And so there were some things that perhaps were gnawing on this church that Paul is writing to. They were being persecuted for one thing. It wasn't like they had an easy life when it come to meeting like we do in America today, that there's so many congregations that get up out of bed and they come to a place that we all gather together this morning and they have a moment where they have church. We walk out of this church building. Nobody has persecuted us because we've come to church. Listen, the environment, this church in Philippi was a burr then, was totally different than that. They were being persecuted for their faith, persecuted for being a Christian, persecuted for naming the name of Jesus as above every name, naming him as the only God. There was persecution that was taking place. Sometimes we take our church for granted. But this is what was going on in the church of Philippi. They had carnal members in the church body. What do you mean by carnal members? They had many people or members in the church that were operating in their emotions instead of by faith. They were acting like they were still in the world, but yet they were part of the church. Paul was dealing with some of that carnal issue that was going on in the church. They also had false teachers, those that were teaching philosophies and different doctrines and different things other than Jesus Christ saves. All in this church in Philippi. And some of the members were struggling literally in life in general. Some of them were struggling with money. Some were struggling with food, relationships, and etc. How many can relate with that? That life sometimes deals us a bunch of lemons. And sometimes it's difficult knowing where the next meal is. And some of them were struggling in those areas in just everyday life. So all this was, if you could imagine, was just gnawing at their peace. Peace of mind. Peace of mind. Peace in the Lord. And it was just interrupting that flow of peace in their lives. I don't know about you, but I love it when everything's peaceful. Amen. I noticed yesterday morning when I got up, Oliver and I, we left at 7:15, but when I walked outside, the wind wasn't blowing. That was Saturday morning after Friday, and the birds were chirping. And I said, oh God, isn't it wonderful? I love that much better than I did Friday. Peace is a good thing. And God wants you to have peace no matter what circumstances you're going through in your life. God has a peace for you this morning. And that's what Paul was trying to encourage this church at Philippi. He says, I know you got a lot of things happening within your congregation. I know you have a lot of things that's happening out there in the world. But I want to tell you something about peace. And so he starts to speak some things. Because you may have noticed also, their struggles that I spoke of this morning also parallel the lives of Christians today. They're still there. So these verses are still very powerful in the church, for the church or the Christian in 2025. They're still powerful verses for us. What was the first thing Paul tells to the Philippians concerning all that is going on in their lives? The first thing he speaks of is resist becoming a worrier. Resist becoming a worrier. The King James says this in that verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. The New King James says, be anxious for nothing. The New Living says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Listen, this morning, and I think this is what Paul's expressing in this part of this verse, is that we must not let our concerns turn into worries. We must not let our concerns turn into worries. There's a difference between being concerned and being worried. Concern drives us. It's all right in life to have concerns over different things, but concern drives us to do what we can to fix the problem or have more or be more proactive into the situation that we're concerned over. When we're concerned about something, we just don't sit around. We try to do what we can, be proactive into it. It causes us to be busy. It causes us maybe to educate ourselves on a certain subject, or it may cause us to do things a little different. But concern always will help us to be proactive. It's all right to be concerned. It's all right to have concern. You may have concern over your children this morning, but listen, that should bring proactive things in your life to help you render those concerns you have, to help you to do something with them. Now worry, listen, worry on the other hand affects a person negatively. Worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear that roams through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. When you let worry get a hold of you, it starts to drain everything else in your life. Worry is a difficult thing. It's different than being concerned about something. Now it has consumed you. Somebody has said that ulcers are caused not by what you eat, but what is eating you. And somebody else has said this. Worriers spend a lot of time shoveling smoke. Now try that. A little hard to do. It's also been said that worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Worry is not good for you. Norman Vincent Peale said this about worry. The word worry is derived from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. How well named the emotion it has been demonstrated again and again in persons who have lost their effectiveness due to the numbing effect of anxiety and apprehension in their life, or in other words, due to the worrying they have, it's literally choked the rest of their life out of them, because all they can think of in the morning is that problem. All they can think of it at night when they go to bed is that problem. You can't concentrate on things. You can't think about things. Whatever has grabbed a hold of a person worrying in is eating their life up, is what worry does to a person. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was preparing this message this week, it's kind of set me free on some things. So I'm just going to share this morning, all right? He goes on and says this: a certain well-controlled carefreeness may well be an asset. In other words, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but that does not mean not to be concerned about some things. Y'all are appreciated that I'm concerned about the way I look this morning. Right? Kind of, maybe. You didn't see me when I got up, so you ought to be appreciative. There's some things in life we need to be concerned about, but what's being spoke here is that we don't need to worry about the things in life. He says this normal, sensible concern is an important attribute of the mature person, but worry frustrates one's best functioning. It's hard to function when things are about worry, or when you're worrying about things. Jesus, in his sermon, made this statement about our powerless worrying, how powerless worrying is in a Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6:27, he said this about worrying and what it can do for you. And what it can move. He says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, Jesus says worrying is powerless. Worrying is also a time killer. Thomas Carlyle was an anxious, serious, searching type of a person. He had a soundproof room built in his London residence so he could work in unbroken peace. Now, however, a neighbor had a rooster that crowed rather energetically during early morning. Carlyle complained to the owner about it, whereupon the neighbor replied that the rooster crowed only 3 or 4 times at the most. But, Carlyle answered, if you only knew what I suffered waiting for that rooster to crow, worrying about when it was going to happen. Like Carlyle, many harassed and suffering people spend their days waiting for something dreadful to happen because of worry, worry and worry. See, Scripture says we are not to worry over anything. Not to worry over anything. The word nothing or anything means this: no one, none, or nothing. When it talks about worrying over anything, it includes all aspects of our lives, money, relationships, our future. It says we are not to worry over those things. That's one of those words when it says anything, absolutely includes everything. Amen? Think about it. Everything in our life, we're not to worry over those things. It's what the Bible says. But you may say this morning, that's easier said than done. Amen? Easier said than done. Have you ever figured out we can hear what the Word says, but sometimes it's difficult for us to obey it. And it's difficult for it to be part of our lives to where we can actually do something. Well, Paul doesn't just leave them at telling them not to worry about anything. He gives them something to do that can help them to get to that point. And in a way that we can keep from worrying. And that is to relay our concerns to the Lord. Relay our concerns to the Lord. In other words, have a conversation with God. Have a conversation with the Lord. He says, everything by prayer. Pray in everything. I believe the New Living Translation speaks. You know, oftentimes when we think of prayer, we think of an outline that's in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, praising the Lord, and then we'll have a moment of worship and a moment of asking for forgiveness and asking for daily bread. And oftentimes we think of prayer like that. Did you know the Lord was just giving them one way to pray? There's other ways to pray. And when you think about praying, it's an important thing that we realize. That we just don't think about an outline, or maybe we don't think about the thousands of the books have been written on how to pray. I think it would be good for all us to remember prayer is also about having a conversation with God. Having those moments that we just have a conversation with the Lord. Some of my most rememberable times with God are those times I just literally opened my heart up to Him and had a conversation with Him. I didn't have the outline because in my daily prayer, a lot of times I'll start by worship and I'll praise God. I'll ask Him to forgive me my sins just in case I have. And then I'll go into my list and I'll pray for my family. I'll pray for some of you that are going through some difficult times. And then I'll pray for the church that God will just move in the midst of us. And I'll have those certain prayers every day. But there's other times that I just open a conversation with God because I've got something on my heart that's really trying to dig down and become from a concern to turn into a worry. And so I just talk to God. And then times like that have been some of the most rememberable times in my life because, listen, God doesn't mind me talking to Him like that or having a conversation with Him. Matter of fact, I've seen prayers answered or those conversations answered many times when I would just take time and share my heart with God. And what am I trying to express here? Maybe sometimes we need to throw the outline out and just sit down and express what you're going through. Maybe one of you or some of you had a parent that you would just have so much stuff loading you that you would take a moment, you'd go and sit down in front of their desk and you would just share everything with them and you felt good after you got done. You know, something about having a conversation with God can do an amazing thing for you. Just sharing those concerns. You know, 1 Peter 5 and 6 and 7 says this, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Having a conversation with God and just sharing how you feel. I've mentioned before about a book called Hey God. How many of you have ever read the book called Hey God? Man, it's a cool book. It really is. It's about a lady, and I don't think I've pronounced her name properly, but her Mama Fology is her name. But she's just a lady that got saved late in life, had a family, but she didn't enter into religion. She entered into a relationship with the Lord. And you read that book, and you'll see miracle after miracle. And she would say something like this. When somebody needed something like Johnny needed a miracle, she'd go, "Hey, God! Johnny down here just needs a touch of his or your hand on him." And it was like a conversation. It's like she just talked to him like Moses would talk to him. And it was like this. And she seen miracle after miracle after miracle because she had a conversation with God. I'm just saying today, sometimes we hold it all in so deep and down that we need to let it out. Say, God, I am struggling with this thing in my life. I'm struggling with what's happening. I'm concerned about it, God. And I just want to let you know that I'm giving my concern to you. What do we do? We're passing that off to God. We're having a conversation with Him. We're letting Him know, can I tell you something? He already knows what you're going through. You know who's going to feel better about it? Is God going to feel better about it? No, you're going to feel better about it. Right? You're going to feel better because you have turned it over to Him. having that conversation. You put your concern in his hand. You know, another thing that Paul spoke of is ask God for your need. You know, relay our concerns to the Lord. Ask God for the need. Supplication means that exact thing. Supplication is that which is asked with urgency based on pursuing the need or the request. Bring your supplications to him. Ask what you need. Bring it to him. You know, Queen Esther, I love that story with Queen Esther. And you know the whole situation, if you're familiar with the book of Esther, amazing book. And they had a situation that Mordecai said, hey, you need to go in and talk to the king. And Esther said, hey, if I'm not welcome, he'll have me put to death. And then, you know, the conversation, Mordecai kind of put some guilt on her. And so she went before the king, said, be fasting for me. Well, he said, hey, I want to bring you over for supper. How many of you know that's the best way to have a conversation with a man? Fix a good meal. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And so they did that, and then she brought him over again. But in the midst of that second meal, in the midst of the conversation, in the midst of the atmosphere, Queen Esther brought forth her need. She brought forth that very thing that she needed, that supplication unto the king, and brought it to him and says, listen, we got a problem. How many of you remember how the king responded? It was a bad day for Haman. He ended up getting hung that day. I'm just saying today, when we're there in that conversation, having that moment with God about our concerns, about the things going on in our life, it's all right to ask God and bring that supplication before him. That's what Paul's telling them. And not only that, he says, be thankful in how you do it. Be thankful. Now, why would we be thankful? I'm going through a difficult situation. That's all almost like James said, rejoice even though you're in midst of terrible trials and tribulation in your life. Rejoice. Have you found that to be difficult? Well, here, Paul tells these people at the church of Philippi to be thankful as they bring their supplications. Now, why would I be thankful? For one reason, he's able to do something about it. He's able to do something about it. God, there's nothing. I read once in here that everything is possible with God. I read that there's nothing that our God can't do. I read that he can, boy, I love it when he's telling Job, do you not know I own a ton of snow? I got all this in my hands. This is who we're talking to. You're not talking to Billy Snyder when you bring your concerns. I'm limited to what I can do. And the older I get, the more things I'm limited that I can do. But I'm just saying today, we're not talking to man. We're not talking to someone that is limited by the possibilities of skill, possibilities of finances, or possibility of connections, or who they know or who they might not know. We're talking and bringing our prayers, bringing our concerns to somebody called God. God is able to do all things that we can't do. He can do amazing things. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. To him who is able. Get a hold of it this morning. I don't know what your situation is, but I can tell you something. If you take your concerns to God, you're taking to someone that is able, hallelujah, to do something about it in our life. My God, hallelujah, is able to do amazing things. God is able. Hallelujah. And we've been granted the right to ask, or may I say the privilege to ask. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. We've been granted that privilege to bring our needs to the Lord. And it's amazing what God can do. Totally amazing how He can do these things that we feel so overwhelmed about if we will but trust Him. We have access to His throne. It's been granted through the blood of the Lamb that we celebrated this morning in communion. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to find help." Listen to what it says. Help in the time of need. Help in the time of need. Do you realize through the blood of Jesus Christ that we've been given the privilege to come into the throne room of God? We don't have to worry about a scepter being pointed at us and say, take that one out. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come into the throne of God for help in the time of need. Now, I'm getting excited. You guys are awful quiet this morning. But I'm just saying, I'm excited about how we can come to the Lord, that He is able to take care of our problems. There's not any problem too big for God. You may be concerned, but what's being spoke of, Paul is saying, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord because He is able to do something about our concerns. Help originally means to run on a call to help, is what that means in that verse. To run on a call to help. To hasten to help the oppressed. Now listen to that. Could you imagine God, all of a sudden you're in that throne room and you bring your concerns before God, and then all of a sudden He points over there to your guardian angel and says, go. Go help. Go do something supernatural for them. Because that's how God does things. That He's able to help. Not only just, hey, I'll get around to it whenever, but I'm there to help. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." So load. Can I tell you this morning, the privilege of bringing our needs to the Lord and having Him to hear our needs is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing that can provide the peace that we need. Well, what does Paul tell him next in this passage for the child of God? He says, receive what only God can give. Listen, I want you to understand that this morning. Because some of you may be in some situations right now that the only one that can give you the peace that you need, the only one that can help you in that situation is God. You're not going to get peace anywhere else. You're not going to get the help that you need anywhere else. So one of the things Paul says about this, he says this very thing, after you've brought your need and your supplications, receive what only God can give you. Receive it. Can I tell you, sometimes what God gives us does not make sense. Sometimes He gives us something that we have to trust on. Sometimes it's the Word of God that He says, listen, you trust me on this. And sometimes it doesn't look like He's done anything about the situation, but He's gave you a word, a rhema word that says, hey, do this and I will take care of you. And when God speaks a rhema word into your spirit, the enemy tries and steals that up like the seed that's put out on the hard places. But let me tell you, I want to encourage somebody in the house this morning. If God's gave you a rhema word in your prayer time, do not let it go. Do not quit rehearsing it, but start believing it and watch God do a miracle thing in your life. Because God gives a rhema word for a reason. He reminded me of one this morning that He gave me over a decade ago, and I thought, why am I just now getting it? Oh, I got it back then, but I let it go, and now I'm living with it again. God has a word for every one of us. Receive what only God can give, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. First, let's talk about a supernatural abiding peace that can't be explained. A supernatural abiding peace that cannot be explained. Jesus was in the boat. And the storms were coming all over the place. The disciples were beside themselves. They were worrying. And Jesus was at the sleep at the front of the boat. And they woke Him up. He gets up and says, peace be still. You know, I don't think he was a heavy sleeper. He was just a peaceful sleeper. He had peace that it didn't matter. He knew that he was going to the cross of Calvary. He wasn't going to die, or he wasn't going to have to give his life in the middle of that ocean. He had somewhere going. Can I tell you today, it's time that we realize that God has a future for us and that we need to start having his abiding peace in us. And letting that peace start to stir up and let that peace overwhelm us. This peace I'm talking about does not make sense. It's hard to explain. It's that type of peace that everybody's running everywhere, but you're just saying, well, my God's got this. It's supernatural. And it can come to who? His children. Every one of us in this house is qualified for this type of peace. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and you belong to the Lord, he is saying, I can give you a peace in your situation right now. I can give you a peace that's going to pass all understanding. A peace that says, I don't know how God's going to do it, but God's going to do it. His peace, not our worries, will guard our hearts. Now hear that. His peace, not our worries, will guard our hearts. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I have a tendency, and I do, I have a tendency to worry about things. And sometimes they can get so locked in on me that I have a hard time shaking them off. I mean, it's not like, I'm not worried about my, I'm just things get a hold of me. You know, as a pastor, things get a hold of me. And I can't hardly sleep, and then I have a hard time resting and all that. And am I the only one in the house that happens to? Okay, it makes me feel better because I thought I was kind of strange. But, you know, and I know that pastors are supposed to be super whatever and all this, but I'm going to tell you, we're nothing more than human. And there are those moments in our lives that things grip us. And it gets a hold of us so deep. And what happens to that? And sometimes we get to thinking us worrying is going to keep that peace. We're going to do all we can by worrying to keep the peace in our life. We're going to worry about it because we're doing our job worrying. That's not what's going to keep the peace in our lives. It's not that. It's not our worries, but it's His peace that will keep our hearts. His peace will keep us calm. His peace can help our blood pressure go down. His peace can actually have an effect on our physical bodies. Amen? His peace is what can cause us to relax even when the storms are all around us. Never will worry, listen, never will worry ever protect your heart. Only His peace will. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace because his mind is stayed upon God. Galatians 3:15 says, chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Have you noticed that this Christian thing that we call this Christian walk takes an effort on us in order for God to fulfill His word in our lives? Amen? We gotta, and I'm gonna be speaking of it tonight. If anybody needs to be set free, you wanna come tonight. But I'm just saying tonight, or this morning, it takes an effort on our part because that adversary of your soul is constantly coming after you. And you got to make your mind up. Nope, I have God's peace in my life. You know, a hurricane is a storm with the cyclonic winds that excel 74 miles per hour. Rain, thunder, lightning, and usually acquainted with winds, and we've seen the damage that they can do. But the very fascinating thing about the hurricane is the eye in the middle of it. perfect calm in its center. Though the winds blow and rage all around it, there are none in the eye. So it is with us in the storm. With the Lord as our center, there's a calm and a peace, even in the darkest of our life storms, that God can be there with you, walking with you, giving you that peace that you need. Pastor Oliver, if you'll come. What a wonderful thing that we have from the Lord. Pastor Oliver's not in here, is he? Oh, there he is. He keeps jumping around. So, it's amazing to me in Matthew 6:33 and 34, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And listen what it says after that, because we always quote 6:33. I do. I quote it all the time. But listen to what the next one. "Therefore, do not worry." Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Suffer for the day is its own, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Today, it's got plenty. But as Christians, we're told not to worry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and let God take care of it. Bring your request, bring your concerns to God, lay them at the feet of Jesus. Don't let your concerns to become worries in your life. Every one of us have got concerns right now. If I was to have each one of you stand up and say, "Well, I've got a concern about this situation," or "I've got a concern about that situation," "I've got a concern about my health," or "I've got a concern about my relationship," "I've got a concern about the money in my household," "I've got a concern about my whatever's happening in your life." We all have those things. But Paul's answer is that to take it to Jesus Christ, take it to the Lord, and let that concern be something that Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit now will take part of. That's casting your care. And out of that, you're going to find a supernatural peace that you didn't think you could have in the storm. Does it mean the storm's quit? No. But it'll be like you're in the eye of that hurricane, and you're thinking, "Man, this is great. Look at this. The birds are singing. God is good." It's just beyond understanding. We shouldn't even try to explain things that say that in the Bible. I'm just saying this morning, that peace is for God's children. That peace is offered for His children. So I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what's trying to grip you, but I would suspect in this crowd that we have some, and probably those who are watching online, we've got where some concerns have turned into worry. I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to let God have it. You don't need to pick it up anymore. Every time that thought comes in, you need to say, "God, I give this to you. God, I give it to you. I am not going to let the enemy win and worry me to death. But I'm going to give my concerns to the Lord this morning." All kinds of things that you can do. But that was Paul's solution for a church that was having a difficult time. He says, bring it to the Lord with thanksgiving. In everything, pray. Have a conversation with God. Watch the peace that passeth all understanding come into your life.